Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace, he speaks of how grace is one of the key Christian words. And there is something about grace, which means God's unmerited love for us, that is distinctively Christian, as the Bible sets it out, and as we experience it. God is a God of grace. He is a God of love. He loves those who don't deserve that love, and he reaches out with that love today. Tate Modern, on the South Bank of London, there is an installation. I will try and describe it to you. I couldn't find a picture, but it is these two metal long-handed mops and this bucket, and that's it. I'm fascinated by modern art, not all of it, but I actually think that there's some really good thought-provoking stuff. And this one, which looks like nothing, it looks really odd. When you begin to reflect on it and you reflect on the life of the artist, you see that at the end of his life, he is just longing for grace. He's longing to be washed clean. And these precarious long-handled mops that don't look like they should stand up, they look like they should topple over. Are they reaching up to heaven, or is God reaching down to him in some way? That longing for grace, that longing for cleansing, that longing for love and forgiveness, and God giving that. And the wonderful message of the scriptures is that grace is not precarious to us. We might wonder, is there forgiveness for me? Is there love for me? But God, in his grace and mercy, gives us a strong and a sure word. And he says, in Jesus, there is grace for you. And wherever you sit with these things this morning, if this is stuff that's really familiar to you, if this is stuff that's new and fresh to you, these verses take us to the heart of grace and show us, I believe, that grace is more wonderful, more brilliant, more amazing than we could ever believe. So a few things about God's grace this morning. First of all, we see the gospel of grace, or the good news of grace. And Paul, in this reading, takes us to the saving events of the Lord Jesus. Talk about his life and his death and his resurrection. So the Christian good news is based on the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth and who lived and died and rose again. See if you're following this through. In verse 5, it speaks of the death of Jesus. Indeed, Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. Verse 9 speaks of the resurrection of Jesus. Indeed, that he is alive forevermore. Wonderful thing about Jesus' resurrection is that he dies once and he rises once and he lives forever and he's coming again. The contours of the Christian good news: death, resurrection, ascension into heaven, Jesus seated and reigning at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and then coming again one day. Jesus lives and he will never die. When he was on earth, Jesus performed amazing miracles. And one of the great signs of John's Gospel in John 11 is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. An extraordinary miracle. But Lazarus is the man who died twice. He died and Jesus raised him from the dead. And then a little bit later on, he will have died again. And people might have taken you to his grave, and they might have said, here is the grave of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. He died twice. He died once and Jesus raised him, but now he rests in this place. Jesus' resurrection is very different. People had taken you to Jesus' grave, it would have been an empty grave. The stone had been rolled away and Jesus had risen never to die again. And so Jesus died and Jesus rose, and because he is alive right now, there is tremendous hope. Verse 5, to those who have put their faith in Jesus, Paul says, if we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So Paul is saying there is something to come. There is a resurrection for us to come. There is life now and life forevermore. Life that is just poured out for us, this wonderful, gracious gift. And this might just seem like a rehearsal of what we believe as Christians are the facts about the life of Jesus. But actually, they are foundational for receiving God's grace. And we see two things here. First of all, the gospel, the good news of saving grace. Because of these things, we can be saved. When Matt was speaking last week, he talked about grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. And you have Jesus who gives his life for us so that we can be free. He dies in our place so that we can be forgiven. He rises so that we can have new and wonderful life. And he promises that to us today. There is that wonderful, amazing grace to us in Jesus Christ. On the next slide, there's a slide from the film Les Miserables. I think that's on there. Yeah, there we are. So you see Hugh Jackman there looking very haggard. You may know the Victor Hugo book. You may have been to see the musical. You may have seen the film. Near the beginning, Jean Valjean, who is the main character, he's been serving 19 years hard labor for stealing a loaf of bread. And he is free and he's in the house of a bishop, basically stealing the silver. And he is discovered. And what is going to happen? This is going to be the end for him. But the bishop doesn't want the silver back. And he says, you can take these candlesticks too. And there is this transforming moment of grace. Someone who has had a life that has been so hard and difficult, and they're angry, they're like a sort of screwed up ball of anger and resentment and frustration. And they're at their wit's end, and suddenly they receive extraordinary grace. Love that is not deserved. Love that is over the top. Love that is super abundant. And it speaks to us of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 24 in our reading, the wages of sin is death. Verse 23, right at the end of the chapter. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, when we go our own way, our rebellion against God, our frustration, our anger, our shaking our fist in the face of God, sin pays a wage, and that wage is death. But you notice how the language shifts. The grace of God is not a wage. It's not payment for work done. It is a gift to us from God. And as we look back in Romans, the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, speak of how we receive this grace. It's with open hands. It's with faith. It's coming to Jesus and saying, I believe in you, I trust in you, and I want to receive your grace. It's an amazing gift to you. We're just beginning to think about Christmas. I went somewhere yesterday where Christmas music is playing. You probably have had that experience. There's a few Christmas songs on the radio. Radio 2's record of the week is the new Robbie Williams single, which is a Christmas single. It's really too early, but you think about Christmas and you think about gifts. When we think about God, we should also think about gifts, because God is a God of grace, and in Jesus he has given us the greatest gift, the free gift of salvation, freedom from sin and shame, just being cleaned out, being forgiven from the inside out, the wonderful symbol of water that comes and cleanses us. And in this case, it's not water cleansing us and giving us a clean on the outside. It's the water of God's grace, the grace of his Holy Spirit coming to us and making us clean. Wherever we are on our journey, whatever we've done, whether we've messed up in huge ways, whether we've messed up in a myriad of smaller ways, whatever it is that we've done, whoever we are, we can receive the grace of God, his amazing gift. And we receive it by faith. We receive it by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus. And then the final thing for us this morning is the gospel of transforming grace. See, there's a wonderful thing here that is so important for us, that God's grace nourishes us and leads us for the whole of our lives. The very heart of this reading is that Paul is saying, you've received God's grace, he's saying it to these people, but now you need to live a life of grace. Don't use grace as an excuse just to live any old how, but God's transforming power is at work in you to enable you to live differently. And that living differently is not following a set of rules and regulations. It's not to do with law, it's to do with grace. Verse 14 of our reading, for sin shall not be your master. That sounds quite sort of draconian, doesn't it? It sounds like there may be a school teacher here who's about to really lay down the law and wag their finger. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. See, Christian living is to do with grace. It's to do with life. It's to do with freedom. It's to do with living in God's world, God's way, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the finger wagging comes from outside the Christian faith, as the Bible understands it. The Bible wants to set us free to love and to serve. God wants to fill us from the inside out with the power of his Holy Spirit. He is gracious to us, and he leads us on in a wonderful life of grace. And it's not that we receive God's grace and go on to something else, go on to something different. We live a grace-filled life by the power that God gives to us. When we think of resurrection, and these verses are about resurrection, we think about power. Your power has been released and someone's been raised up, and it's absolutely extraordinary. Jesus has been risen from the dead, and that same power is at work in us to change us, to give us new desires, to give us a new pattern of life, and the power to actually live that out. Someone has put it like this: we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, we are saved from its power. And that is God's grace. When someone is mired in sin and shame, when someone is actively rebellion against God, then the reality is it's a mess. The reality is people are churned up inside. The reality is that people around them are messed up. But when someone is living a grace-filled life, filled with the Spirit, empowered by God, living for Him, then there is life and there is health and there is peace and there is joy. Christian people never get beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important. Every day, every hour, we get things wrong. And yet God in His mercy begins to transform us, begins to change us by the Holy Spirit, begins to lead us into new things, do new things in us and through us. And it's exciting and it's wonderful. And it is grace. This is an amazing community of grace. I have discovered this over and over again. You can even get the name of the whole church wrong, and people don't mind too much. You, I know, have experienced God's grace, so many of you. Not just directly from God, but mediated through other people in this community, in this gathering. That bit of practical help, that person who's been there for you through thick and thin, the support that you've been given as you've sought to live for Christ in the workplace and the home. This is a community, a gathering of God's grace. May we press on more and more into the grace of God. May we be quick to forgive. May we be quick to love. May we be quick to support, to encourage one another. And may that flow over through our lives into the wider community, into our families, and into our workplaces. It's new life, new lifestyle. It's the grace of God for conversion and the grace of God for holiness and Christian living. May God show us how, and may God lead us forward to be people of grace and to be a community of the grace of God. Let's pause together, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer of response. And in the prayer, to encourage us to be specific. Talked in general terms about the amazing grace of God. But as we just reflect and pray together, as well as rejoicing in the amazing grace of God, I want us to apply this very specifically to our lives. Grace of forgiveness, the grace of salvation. The grace that says, you've taken the family silver and I'm going to give you the candlesticks as well. God's extraordinary love to us. Maybe you need to receive that for the first time today and to know that you're forgiven, to know that you have eternal life in Jesus. To know that you have overflowing life here in the present. Just yield yourself to God now. Put your faith in Him, and He will receive you. Just sense as well the extraordinary forgiveness of God that we need to live in the light of. Maybe you know Jesus as your friend and the one who saves you, and yet there are things in the past and the present, and you just wonder, can God really forgive those things? I believe God wants to say, you are forgiven. You are made clean. Your sin and your shame and your guilt are wiped away. We thank God that the good news of saving grace is also the good news of transforming grace. In Les Miserables, Jean Valjean is transformed by his experience of grace. And this is the pattern for us as well, the pattern that's set out for us, new life and new lifestyle. Lord, help us not to use your amazing, abundant grace as a sort of license to just go around causing mayhem, thinking, well, God will forgive me anyway. Lord, thank you that when you save us, you come by our transforming power, and out of gratitude and love to you and looking for you, to you for your present and future grace, we live differently. Lord, help us to receive your forgiveness day by day, and help us to be changed day by day. As we reflect and pray, just sense that God is putting his finger on perhaps some things in our lives, that habit that is destructive for us and for others, that lack of grace, that ungrace maybe, towards a friend or a neighbor or a colleague. That sense that God is leading us into new things, a new level of trust, perhaps a new ministry, something that you're calling us to pick up. Lord, whatever it is, may we be people of grace, filled with the Holy Spirit, flowing with your grace. Lord, as you have loved us, help us to love others. As you've had mercy on us, help us to have mercy on others. As you have empowered us, may we live our lives for you and for others. People with a great passion for you, a love for people, and a heart for mission. People who are generous, people who are serving. Lord, show us the way in the specifics of our lives, in the concrete detail of the everyday. Help us to work this out. And as we work it out day by day, help us to live it out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.